Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundrie with the T-Theory Observations for Sunday, the 31st of October, 2010. Today we have the usual format where we have broken up the discussion into four parts, A, B, C, and D, and the E part is being reserved for an update next Wednesday in the morning. We will at that point probably know something about the election results, but we won't see how the market reacts to it. And then, as I pointed out in the last Wednesday update, you've got to wait around for the big story is when the Federal Reserve starts to talk about what they're going to do with the quantitative easing. And then there's the question of what the stock market's reaction is going to be relative to what they say, which we won't know about when we do the Wednesday. But we'll just put it up there because it's nice to have a midweek update. Topics today are, you remember the last couple of weeks we've been talking about very long-term trends. The prominent one was that I took away from that discussion was that if you look at U.S. bonds, either high yield or quality treasury bonds, gold, and U.S. equities, taking those as four different divisions, two of those are always going to be in the where you make most of your money. And if you just concentrate on those four different categories of stocks or asset classes, then you can find out which one is the best, and you can figure out which one is the worst and knock them off, and you're left with the other two. And it pretty much gets you through my 35 years of experience or the 200-year history of the charts in pretty good fashion. And that is that's a key item. The second thing that you want to get into is the breaking down the what's called the fog of war, which is that you get thrown, you know, just when you're in a market bottom, somebody tells you you're in a depression, or just because when you're in a market top, everybody tells you that it wants to buy common stocks. And so we're introducing the as a companion to Parker's volatility warning, index top warning, Alan Newman's stock market trust currents does keep track of insider selling and buying. And he has the history of that is he's been doing it since 1990. High insider selling is associated with all the major tops that you have in history. The most important ones being the 2000 top, the 2000 late 2007 top, and that's very high insider selling. And then the latest report that he has is that it's record high insider selling as of in recent weeks. What you have to do is collect all the data because insiders are officers of companies, and they are privileged to have information, and they are allowed to trade their own stock. So they could go ahead and do that, but they have to file with the Securities and Exchange Commission what they're doing, and that information eventually becomes released. It's very hard to pin it all down. So what Alan Newman has been doing for the last 20 years is basically to track it all down and figure out what the ratio of whether they're how many shares they're selling, how many shares they're buying, and since they have to report both sides of them. And then when the ratio tilts over to heavy insider selling, presumably they know what's going on. And that's the problem that you're facing right now, is that they've got the record high selling, and you see a lot of people are bullish on the stock market, but what they do is they're outsiders. They don't really know to have the inside information. So you have another confirmation of basically that the T13 of the advanced decline T's is topping out on its double top, which comes about from having had a double bottom at the center post, the region around the center post of the T. So I thought that was pretty good. You can compare the two concepts together, which we'll do in this A section, and you find out one of them is based on complacency and the other one is based on insider knowledge. So you have a concept that is fundamental based on insider knowledge. That's a fundamental type of a concept because they're looking at the financials versus Bob Parker's volatility index top warning, which is basically a complacency indicator. And, you know, complacency is one of those things that you don't really, it's sort of a nebulous type of a thing, whereas it's very proactive if the insiders are doing the selling. So in any case, that's a pretty good. I have subscribed to Alan Newman's Stock Markets Current, Cross Currents, and he has some interesting things to show on the. We're also having historic lows in the mutual fund cash positions. Part of the reason that the mutual funds are having trouble establishing a very large cash position is that the investors have given up on common stocks, so that if it's a common stock fund, there isn't too much. They're always being faced with redemptions and stuff like that. The money flows are in the bond funds, so there's some interest there. The other thing that happened this week is that Bill Gross is going around making all this new normal, and the Treasury bonds are dead, and the interest rates are going to explode with the quantitative easing and so forth. And so I have to do this for my company anyway, but there is going to be a correction, and because they had the long-term Treasury bonds have had a big run-up, and they are going to have somewhat of a correction. But just to ally a lot of people who email me relative to their Treasury bond holdings, you don't want to go off and believe this, all this stuff that they were talking about. They tried this at the beginning of last year when the story ran around that you short the Treasury bonds, and what happened was they got caught on that, and they lost a lot of money on that. Okay, and they're all getting hopped up again on this thing, and it's all going around Wall Street that you got to get out of the Treasury bonds. But that's one of the most important things that you want to hold on to, and so I will discuss that in the next part that comes where we compare the. We would take a general look at it and look at the pros and cons and so forth. In the third part, which is C part, I'm taking Parker's he has a T that's done in the money flow index, and I've applied that to the GLD gold, and that clearly concludes. We don't know whether it's right or not, but it clearly concludes that gold is going to rally as we drop into the towards the mid-December low, which is the null echo low, after we complete this top, which could be, we think the top is starting to form right now. But it could take a couple more weeks before you can get it all resolved. But then when you go down in the sell-off, which is likely to be very sharp, we do not see that the gold is going down with the market based on Parker's money flow index midpoint analysis. So I do that in part C. And then in part D, well, we have the long-range bearish T, and I reiterate my warning that I think that you're making a ledge pattern in the stock market because the stock market hasn't done anything in the last few days. The arms ratio is staying neutral. The S&P is kind of neutral. And you're beginning to get the signs that you've had a reversal in the cycle low turned into a cycle top, a week ago, and you're watching it roll off, and you're going to get a sharp decline. That sharp decline should be caught at the 55-day moving average, and you get one more bounce up, and then you're going to go over. Okay, so things are converging very rapidly on a changeover to a case where the insiders are selling, and the everybody else used to be bullish, but it's going to flip over on top of you, and you're going to find out the insiders were right. You're going to find out the people that are being bullish coming up for this, what we call basically a double top pattern. But we don't know whether that's actually going to go all the way up to the April high or not. But it's in the vicinity of that one. But you're going to watch that flip over, and that's a very momentous thing in T theory and so forth. So let's talk about the Part A stuff, in which we have two charts. One is the S&P 500 versus the advanced decline T's. That's the first chart. And then the second part is the volatility index top warning. In this chart here, I only updated it to the 28th because the things happened on the 29th. And I make these charts up. It gives me a chance to make up charts up on Friday when I see that there's nothing going to happen, and that gives me a head start for the weekend, because I also have to do, for my company, I have to do a report on the 31st of the month, which happens to be, that means that I am doing the web updates at the same time I'm writing for financial report for my company. And I am really very interested in a lot of these concepts, because they get us away from this general picture that you're going into a depression because of the, you go look at the 200 years and you see that this 40-year cycle, but the 80-year cycle is causing you to go into a depression, and you've got to figure it all out, and you've got to get the treasury bills right, you've got to get the T13 right, you've got to respect the volatility index top warning, you've got to respect the Alan Newman stock market crescent. The biggest tea we've got is in gold. So, you know, the gold is going to go up, and Parker's money flow indicator is only good in trends. Okay, well, this is the biggest trend we got. We always will check that one out. You know, and another thing that's a lot easier is if you own gold and you can stay for a longer term on it, you're better off, because you don't have to fight that problem going back and forth. It makes it much easier to get that aligned with the treasury, because they're also in a long-term uptrend, total return uptrend, and all that other nonsense. You have to come up with an argument to dismiss it, because you have to get into the nitty-gritty of it, which will come to the bottom of sounds. In any case, I wanted to, if you're interested, Parker's stuff makes use of the VIX and which is a 1 month volatility indicator, and then the 3 month volatility indicator, and I'm just reviewing the chart there, and to show that you had a record low, which is associated with peaks of the stock market. The market has continued up somewhat further than that low occurred, but it turns out, if you look back, I just drew the arrows in where they kind of looked like they were okay. And you could be earlier, you can be a little bit late on the whole deal. If you want to reproduce this, incidentally, the cost is the same. You have to have a subscription to Stock Market Charts, which is a very good thing to have. But it costs about $190. The one I have, it costs about $190 a year. If you want Alan Newman's Stock Market Cross Currents, it also costs $190 a year. Okay, but of course with the with the stockcharts.com, you can do a lot of other things too. So that's probably the better deal. But if you do a search of Alan Newman's Cross Market Currents or Alan Newman's or something like that, he recently wrote an article which I think appeared at MarketWatch. So you can just use Google and you can find all the sources, you can find all the articles. And usually when he's talking about something big is happening, he will pretty much go public with the information. So, and of course, I'll delve into all the details on it myself. So, but in any case, I think that there's the fundamental difference in here is one of them is you also have the no top version in the warning as to why it came up in the middle of June. What happens is in the insider selling or the insider buying is the history on it is it tends to be early, so you get this high insider selling, that is, they're selling, you know, many times more shares than they are buying, because they're always buying. Some people are buying something and some people are selling something, so they've got to aggregate it out and look at the ratio, and that starts early, so you're always better off to be early than you are late. And the reason for that is that, especially at tops, is because tops tend to be broad and they give you lots of ways to get out. But the history on market declines is they're about three times faster than declines, than rallies. So when you hit the skids on the market, it's very, very fast. And so you don't want to be late on that one. Okay, so you always find out that one of the things that Marty Schwartz always said was that he used to be frustrated because he was making fortunes, but he was always frustrated, and his frustration was that he was always too early. Okay, you find out the people that get into trouble are always too late, and the answer is that unless you're going to get it, you're never going to get it exactly right. But you always want the stuff that comes in early, and then you have to deal with that business of earliness. And You know, so that's just you have to have all the techniques that help you to get through that little watershed. But you only do things in the but you never get blindsided is the point. It's also known that if you look at what his work is on the downside, he'll get very, very, very bullish on the insider buying back in the when you go into that climax in the October, November time period, because the whole banking system looked like it was going to collapse. And so the insiders are buying at that point, but you can take your time because, some things didn't bottom until mid-November, and then other things didn't bother out until early March. And so you got plenty of time to look around and rather than do a knee-jerk buy or sell on it. And so I think that's a very valuable indication, and it's a good thing kind of keep in your repertory of indicators. Okay, so that's pretty much what I wanted to say in the part A period. There is an ambiguity, in both of these techniques, and that is that you don't know about you know about extremes, but when you're trying to find the extreme, you never know where the extreme point is until after the fact. If it's an early warning, that's okay because you're alerted to the danger and you have to figure it out. But it is a problem that you have to figure out where you're going into an environment where the 80-year cycle says you're going through a depression. So it means that you're likely to be making records all the time. Record disasters. Every 3 or 4 years, you get into a bigger disaster or a more complicated disaster, or they find some other problem to develop. And so you have to be aware of that. But that's the way it goes. And so we go on to part two when we start looking at the bonds, and then the idea of the bonds corrected with a goal. You can sort of sift yourself out of this. But not all of this ambiguity in trying to find out where the tops and the bottoms are. Okay, so this ends part A, and then we'll be back with part B.